We have Brother Newton bring us the Lord's Word this morning.
I want to share with you this morning about a young man who honored the Holy Spirit in his life. And we read about him in Acts chapter 6. Before that, in Acts chapter 2, we read about the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it says here, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Acts chapter 2 verse 2. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can see that's how the first church began. There was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were led by the Spirit. They were taught by the Spirit. And that's how they continued. And in this group of 120, there were some fine young people. Apart from the apostles, there were many young people who sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord filled them. And then we read in Acts chapter 6. You know, they had some minor problem regarding distribution of food. And they said, see, our priority is to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We want to look for people who will help us in administration or serving of food. And then, it says here, chapter 6, verse 5, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. And when they sat before the apostles, when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. And yeah, before that, maybe verse 3 also. It says here, verse, they said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. When they needed someone to help in the kitchen and in the serving of food, they didn't say, we'll just select anyone who's available, who's a volunteer. No. And one of the men, young men, who was chosen for this task was Philip. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. This man, Philip, was a young brother. He had a honest report. And he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We can say, Philip, that's how it began in Jerusalem. He was there on the day of Pentecost. And he was full of the Holy Spirit. And in the, we can say, he was committed to the local church. And he was glad to do ordinary jobs. He didn't aspire for any leadership. He said, I'm happy just to help in the kitchen and serve the food. And what a testimony he had as a young brother. Good report, honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We say, oh, young people don't have wisdom. Philip was very young. I think Philip was in his probably less than 30. And, you know, one more good thing about Philip, like we say, we must read between the lines. The more we read between the lines and meditate on that, we get more edification. You know, Philip had some wonderful fellowship with fine young brothers. Philip had fellowship with Stephen and Prochorus and Cana, Timon. I'm not surprised that Philip was a wonderful brother, because he was, the Bible says, he who walks with wise will be wise. And that's the reason Philip opened himself to the Holy Spirit, opened himself to the fellowship of fine young people. And I believe Philip lived under the authority of the elders in Jerusalem. What a wonderful young brother Philip was. Have you meditated on him, brothers and sisters? It's good to take time to think of such a fine young brother. And he was faithful where God placed him. He didn't want to just run around here and there. And like they say, he was not a lone ranger. He had fellowship. He was under submission. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was glad to just serve the local church. And I want to encourage all the young brothers and sisters, follow the example of Philip. Be full of the Spirit. Have a good testimony. And say, Lord, give me wisdom. And say, Lord, help me to be committed to the local church. Don't tell me you don't have any ministry in the church. Do begin where Philip began. And, you know, and there was a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. I believe they had a good time. The Lord was working mightily. And it was just fantastic to be there. And in such a time, suddenly Stephen died as a martyr. I'm sure that was a great loss to the church. And it was a great loss to Philip also, because probably Philip had good fellowship with Stephen. Like the famous expression that goes, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Yeah, I'm sure many in the church were grieved that we lost another fine, wonderful young brother like Stephen, who was also full of the Spirit. And even as they were grieving, we can say the Lord began to do something wonderful in the church there. And you know, in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord gave them the Great Commission. In 18 or 19, go ye, or all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things also commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That was the commission the Lord gave them. Go, starting from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. But they were all hanging around in Jerusalem, having a wonderful time. And God's plan was to spread the gospel. And you know what happened? Something happened that time. Then we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was constantly on his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So we can say this persecution was also in accordance with God's will. God felt that they're all having a wonderful time in Jerusalem. God said, no, I want the gospel to spread abroad. So there was persecution, and because of persecution, they began to go to Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And verse 4 again it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. You know, the Lord sent them from the comfort zone to a little more difficult places. So sometimes you may get a transfer. Don't say, Lord, why this transfer? Maybe you're getting a transfer from Bangalore. Lord, I like to be in CSB. Why can't you say, Lord, if it's your will, take me to some other place where I can extend your kingdom? It's good to take it in that way. Not complain against the transfer if it is in accordance with God's will. And Philip, who was serving the local church and who was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, the Lord spoke to Philip quietly. And he had a listening ear. And it says verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I believe probably the Holy Spirit whispered to Philip. Yeah, Jerusalem is a wonderful church. You are blessed so much there. But there's a need in Samaria. And Philip said, Lord, here I am. Like we sing in the song, say, yes, Lord. And Philip said, yes, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me. What a wonderful young man Philip was, who was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who honored the Holy Spirit, and he chose to go to a difficult place. You know, Samaria has an history. And if you read in Luke chapter 9, 51 to 55, Jesus wanted to go through Samaria, and they did not receive him. And James and John said, Lord, shall we call fire from heaven? And Jesus had to rebuked them, saying, you don't know what manner of spirit you are from. Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. And not only that, you know, Assyria conquered Samaria and they expelled all the Jews, leaving only poor and lowly people there. And they brought in the pagan there, and the pagan intermarried with these lowly Jews. And then we got the Samaritans, what we call the half-bred Jews. And the Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. They just couldn't get along. And I heard that they wouldn't even go through the village. I believe they will even go around the village. That was the extent of hatred between the Jews and Samaritans. And yet, we know that Jesus went to that village of Samaria. And that woman who was a sinner, she got saved. We can say Jesus, he had sowed a seed there. And he was waiting for the harvest through Philip. And now the Lord, the Holy Spirit told Philip to go to Samaria. And we read in chapter 8, verse 6. And first of all, we read verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. What a wonderful testimony, brothers and sisters. He didn't preach a doctrine. He preached Christ to them. You know, I was reading the other day about Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, he's called the Prince of Preachers. I would like to preach all the doctrines in the Bible. But he said, more than all that, I'd like to preach Jesus. You know, what a wonderful statement that is. Yeah, it's good to preach many doctrines, but more than all the doctrines, I believe all of us must be happy to proclaim Christ to others. No wonder the Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ. Don't tell me, brothers and sisters, you don't have any ministry. And Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's a good principle to follow every time we testify. Don't get into an argument with people. Don't attack their religion. Preach Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I believe that's a wonderful thing, to proclaim Christ as the Savior. That there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And tell them what the Lord did for you. And it says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Oh, Jesus had already prepared the ground in Samaria. And they were all ready. They were responsive. They were eager to hear the word of God. And Philip had a fantastic revival in Samaria. He says further down in 12, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Philip preached. He preached not only Christ, he preached the kingdom of God. You know, when he preached the kingdom of God, Satan can't exist together with the kingdom of God. Satan's got to go. And I believe that's a wonderful thing to proclaim, the kingdom of God, the lordship of Jesus. And no wonder the devil hates the kingdom of God. And, you know, Philip began only as just a helper in the church, just as an ordinary brother to do some lowly job. But he had tremendous gifts hidden in him, which he discovered soon. Because he honored the Holy Spirit, because he listened to the voice of the Spirit, because he left the comfort zone and went to Samaria, he began to discover many gifts of the Spirit that he had. And for example, we read here, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. This young brother Peter, I'm sorry, Philip, he could cast out demons. And people who had stroke and people who were lame, they were healed. I think probably Philip himself did not know that God had given him the gifts of the Spirit. And because there was a need, Philip began to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, young brothers and sisters, don't just say, oh brother, I can't preach, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything for the Lord. You don't know all the gifts God has in you. You'll only get to know it when you obey the voice of the Spirit and begin to move in the Holy Spirit as the Lord leads you, and as you begin to speak for the Lord, and as you begin to serve others in need. I believe the Lord will give you many other gifts to help in the ministry. You know, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue after love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Do you know it's written in your Bible? Hello? Have you ever read about it? Have you thought about it? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, give me some gift of the Spirit, Lord, to serve you effectively. Give me a gift, Lord, according to your will. But I want a gift, Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, you must covet to prophesy. I believe that's a wonderful gift. Lord, help me to encourage. Help me to strengthen. Help me to comfort. And Lord, give me more gifts, Lord. Don't be so shy, brothers and sisters. Don't be so timid. Say, Lord, whatever gifts you have planned for me, I want all the gifts. And I tell you, God's not going to just give it in your lap. You're going to, the Bible says, earnestly desire. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, when was the last time you asked the Lord for some gift of the Spirit? In the last 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? If you've not asked the Lord even once, the chances are that you'll never get it. I'm telling you, I'm not discouraging you. You've got to keep on asking, Lord, I want it. I want some gift of the Spirit, Lord. I want to be useful in the kingdom. And as I told you, Philip probably was less than 30. And here he was, useful for the Lord. And I believe, young brothers and sisters, God has great things in store for you. I believe God has a ministry in store for you. And He'll give you the specific gifts of the Spirit to fulfill that ministry. But as I said, it's not going to come to you automatically. I remember Brother Zach saying, every time he gets up to preach, prior to that he says, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Imagine after preaching for 50 years, he asked the Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. And I want to say this morning, there's a great need for many of us, especially the young brothers and sisters. You're the future of the church. Seek to be like Philip, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and learn to honor the Holy Spirit, and learn to seek God for the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And I want to tell you the good news. The Lord is eager to give you many gifts, more than you can even comprehend. Do you believe that the Lord will give you the gifts of the Spirit? I want to hear from the young people. Do you believe the Lord will give you the gifts of the Spirit? Or the Lord will say, no, not for you. It's only for the apostles. I want to say that God has gifts for everyone in the church to serve the body of Christ and to extend the kingdom of God. And only as we seek to serve, as we seek God for the gifts of the Spirit, God will give us many more gifts. Okay, we want to move on. And, you know, just in passing, while Philip was ministering in Samaria, we read about a magician, a sorcerer called Simon. You know, he had such an impact in Samaria. They thought, this man is the great power of God. And but when Philip went and preached the gospel, he got saved. He got baptized. How wonderful that a sorcerer gets converted. Because one young brother went and spoke the gospel And I want to say this morning, there's tremendous power in witnessing. There's tremendous power in sharing the gospel. And don't just say the elders are going to do that. Don't just say those with the gift will do it. God's looking for you, brother and sister. Your sisters too. You have tremendous opportunities, you know, like we often heard before. In India, men, you can speak to the men. Men will not listen to you. But there are so many women. You can reach out. You just open your mouth and testify and they'll respond. And Simon got saved and he got baptized. And there's one more thing I want you to notice about Philip. Again, you must read between the lines, as they say. You know what is that? Philip recognized his limitations. Philip saw that God has given me the evangelistic gift. And so many got saved, many got baptized. But many of them did not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the apostles, it says, they heard that Samaria received the word of God. They sent Peter and John, and they came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he was not yet fallen upon them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Philip was a humble man. He said, I can only share the gospel. I can't lead them higher. And so he said, Peter and John, you please lead them higher. And they prayed for them and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the great tragedy in India. All the evangelists work separately. They say, they are my souls. And they want to build their kingdom. There's a great need for the evangelist and the shepherd to work together. The evangelist should recognize the limitation and say, listen, I can only bring people to the Lord, but I can't lead them higher. And the same way the shepherd should say, I don't have the gift to bring people to the Lord, but I can lead people higher. And that's the wonderful thing in the church. The evangelist and the shepherd work together in humility. And then people get saved. And then people get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then people can be disciples. And that's why we need to recognize one another's ministry. And also we need to recognize our limitation. And again, just in passing, you know, when Simon saw that Peter and John, when they laid their hands, people received the Holy Spirit, and Simon said, give me also this power. And he said, he offered the money, verse 18, to Peter. Give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. He was more interested in honor. And you know, Peter had discernment. And in the church, we need brothers and sisters with discernment to see through. And Peter said, your money perish with you. By the way, Peter was not a 70-year-old apostle. Peter himself was less than 33. But Peter had the gift of discernment. That's the reason, brothers and sisters, we need more the gifts of the Spirit also. And Peter could see through Simon and he said, your money perish with you. Today, if some young brother says that, he will think he's very proud. He's very hard, brother, you say. Not Peter. And he said, because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, and that's a good thing for all of us to know. Gift of God cannot be purchased with money. The gift of salvation, gift of the Holy Spirit, and even the victory gift of victory over sin cannot be earned, cannot be purchased with money. No matter how much you give, even if you give 100 crores. And Peter said, you got neither pardon nor Lord in this matter. One more thing Peter said. He said, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray that if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. I want to ask you this morning, brothers and sisters. Today you're going to have breaking bread. Is your heart right in the sight of God? Answer that question. So many are eager to break bread. Brother, I want to be part of the church. I want to be committed to this church. Is your heart right in the sight of God? And I want to ask one more. Is your heart right towards the brothers and sisters? Sometimes I feel grieved when I see brothers and sisters having wrong attitude to one another and not getting any light about it. Like we have all often heard in this church, the mark of the blessing of God is that you get light on yourself. And I want to say this morning, if your heart is not right, even if you are in this church for many years, if you got some complaint or bitterness, if you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity that you can't love the brothers and sisters, I would say, refrain from breaking of bread. Set things right before God and repent. And I believe Simon repented and he said, oh, please pray that none of these things may happen to me. And I believe that he repented. Okay, and one more verse about Philip. Chapter 8, verse 8. It's a lovely verse. And there was great joy in that city. Philip brought great joy to Samaria. Don't you want to bring joy wherever you go? I believe that's God's blessing. That's God's will for all of us. Wherever you go, you leave behind joy and blessing. And I believe Philip brought revival to Samaria because Philip was full of the Spirit, walking before God. He was in touch with the Holy Spirit, seeking to honor the Holy Spirit and share God's word. And you know, in the Old Testament, we read Deborah. She brought revival to Israel. Samuel brought revival during his time. David, you know, during David's time, there was no idolatry. Josiah, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. We can go on. Many of them brought revival during their lifetime. And I want to encourage you, young brothers and sisters, if you're wholehearted, you can bring revival in your lifetime. Why can't you live like that? Don't live like a passive, mediocre, lazy Christian. No. Be in touch with God. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, make Philip your hero from today. Lord, I want to be like Philip, a young brother who brought joy to the city of Samaria. And not only joy, he brought revival. Don't say, oh brother, me, how can I bring revival? Why not? Trust the Lord. Lord, give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Fill me, Lord, with your love and with your word, that wherever I go, I bring joy and blessing and revival. And Philip, as I said, he honored the Holy Spirit and he continued like that. And I want to show you one more passage in chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip, here we find the Lord said, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You know, from Jerusalem, Samaria was quite far. Now, while he was, first of all, when he was in Jerusalem having a good time, the Lord said, now, Philip, go to Samaria. And after a revival was accomplished, Philip was again listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, get up, go to that road near the desert, near Gaza. So we find Philip now leaving Samaria and going to Gaza. He said, and he arose and went. What a blessed young brother. So obedient to the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say he checked up with someone. And then there was an African finance minister traveling. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and he was returning. And here we find another wonderful man. He was reading the scriptures while he was traveling. That's a good habit to cultivate, brothers. This is some of you are traveling in the bus. You can be looking here and there, watching the fun. Yeah, you can also take the scriptures and read. when you're going in the train. Yeah. Like someone said, they're going on a long journey, you can complete the book of Isaiah. Yeah. You know. And this man was reading. And I want you to notice one more thing. See how the Holy Spirit led Philip. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near. Join yourself to this chariot. You know, I can't imagine this chariot going like a bullock cart. You know, in India we have bullock cart. Bullock cart is very slow. I think the chariot was not so slow. In other words, Philip had to sort of jog. He had to catch up. You know, go near, join yourself. So I believe Philip ran. Philip ran, it says. That shows Philip wasn't a lazy kind of a brother. He was quite fit physically. And he ran, caught up. And not only caught up, he was listening to what this man was reading. He was reading aloud. And Philip immediately understood. He was reading from Isaiah. I often think about it. If you were in that place, and he was reading some portion in Isaiah, can you immediately find out which is that chapter, which is that verse? First of all, Philip knew the book of Isaiah well, and he immediately could make out, this is Isaiah chapter 53. And not only 53, he knew even the verse. If you can look at that verse, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was reading from Isaiah 53, and it says here, Philip asked him. I'm sure Philip was a diplomatic person. He wasn't a crude guy. Probably he said, excuse me, sir. Good morning. Do you understand what you're reading? Without insulting that man. And he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And you know, brothers and sisters, it requires a lot of humility for us to say, I need some help. Can somebody help me? And all of us need help. And he requested Philip to join him. Oh, Philip was very diplomatic. And he jumped up and sat with him. And it says here, verse, and Philip, this Enoch, the finance minister, had a question. I said to the prophet, of whom does he speak? And 35 says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, I'm so blessed by Philip. He didn't give a doctrine. He just didn't give him a book. He said, he preached Jesus. And the Lord supported Philip. And in a short time, that man got saved. What a fantastic ministry the Lord gave Philip, brothers and sisters. I remember a sister writing in a magazine, God's looking for ordinary brothers and sisters who can just open their mouth and speak a word for Him. And I want to tell you, God will use you if you'll just begin. Don't say, I don't have a gift. Use the gift you already have, and you'll find the Lord putting His words in your mouth and blessing you. And this man was so quickly saved, and he said, and Philip told him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. And not only he got saved, he saw the water and said, here's water here. You know, nowadays, many people, they get saved and they debate, should I obey the Lord in baptism? Not this man. Immediately got baptized. And it says, he went on his way rejoicing. I want to ask you all those who got baptized 2 weeks back, are you rejoicing this morning? Are you so happy that you got saved and you got baptized, you're following the Lord? And all the others who have been baptized many years ago, are you happy this morning? What a man Philip was. He knew the book of Isaiah well. Oh, that's challenged me to study even the Old Testament. And then the Holy Spirit moved Philip onwards. It says here, now the Philip was found at Azotus. On passing through, he preached in all the cities. What a wonderful man Philip was. So sensitive to the Holy Spirit, honoring the Holy Spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit, going wherever the Holy Spirit led him and shared the word of God, shared the scriptures, spoke about Jesus. And finally he comes to Caesarea. And you know, we read about Philip in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. By now he knew his gift. He knew his ministry. Some people say, brother, I don't know my ministry. Keep doing whatever you can. And soon you will discover your gifts. Soon you will discover your ministry. And this is Philip the evangelist, just one of the seven. And Apostle Paul stayed in his house. Philip was a hospitable man. And he says he had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Oh, I praise the Lord for the life of Philip. Let's challenge my own heart. And a man who honored the Holy Spirit, and the tradition says that he was martyred in Asia. He really lived for the Lord, and may the Lord help us to also honor the Holy Spirit in the one life God's given. Don't underestimate yourself, brothers and sisters. Don't just say, oh brother, I can't speak. I can't do anything for the Lord. I can only come to the meetings. I want to say this morning, God's got great things in store if you believe. And if you will seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you will open your mouth and speak about Jesus and the scripture, and if you will go where the Lord tells you to go. Some of you may be scared this morning whether the Lord will send you to Africa. I want to say this morning, before you go to Africa, begin in Bangalore. You know where you should begin? Just your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. And then maybe one day the Lord will lead you to other places. But I want to say this morning, especially to all the young people, seek the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First, serve in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is here for all of you. I hope this morning after the meeting you will have many brothers to clean the hall. Always we are getting complaints. We don't have people to clean the hall. Begin with cleaning the hall. Have a good testimony in CFC that you are committed to the church, that you are under the leadership of the church here. And then you will find, as you are faithful there, God will lead you to other places. God will, and if as you are faith, as you seek fellowship with the fine young people, the Lord will work in you, develop you, help you to develop in your personal life, in your ministry, and also become hospitable, and you will be a blessing wherever you go. Can I hear amen from the young people at least? Shall we close the eyes? Lord, we want to thank you for giving us such a wonderful example of a young brother like Philip, Lord, who honored the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you could accomplish so much in him, Lord. And this morning I pray that you will raise up many amongst us, Lord, like Philip, who will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will seek you for the gifts of the Spirit, and that you can make them useful, Lord, in your kingdom, and make them a joy and a blessing, that they can bring revival wherever they go. And not only young people, Lord, we pray everyone like that in our midst, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll work amongst us mightily. Help us to cooperate with you, Lord. And help us to honor you in our lives. We praise you and worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our hearts, at least my heart, burned this morning. I hope yours did, what we heard. And really, it's not a sermon we heard. I believe God is saying something to us, especially to the young people of this church. Next year we enter into another generation. We complete 40 years. You know, 40 years is a generation. In the wilderness, God was angry with those people who were there for 40 years, destroyed all of them. The young people that came, those under 20 years, that God chose and brought in the land of Canaan. We're seeing God doing that also in these days. Those who think they're senior, been here even from the beginning, God has to put aside. They are laid low in the wilderness. Continue in their defeated life. Continue in their high thoughts. But it's the young ones and the new ones that God has been bringing into this church, that God is touching, raising up a generation in the coming days that will stand for Him. We heard that when there was a persecution, they were scattered. The early church, it was persecution that scattered the early church, that scattered the disciples. Today it's jobs. You're relocated. Fortunately, it is not persecution, but even if it is, and even if it will be, that like Philip, we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and really count for God. And I want you to see that in what we heard. You know, many people talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is brought into so much a disrepute and so much a conflict and controversy. You know, people and many sections of Christendom teach you don't have to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit at baptism or at conversion. That's not true. I hope you paid attention to what Brother Newton was reading in Acts chapter 8. You know, it says that after people were baptized in verse 13, you know, Simon the sorcerer also, the magician also believed. It says he believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now this is what I want you to see, and many, many other scriptures, if you've got eyes to see. I believe for many people who come in from different denominations that do not teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I belong to one such. In fact, I was part of a denomination that didn't even speak about the Holy Spirit for many, many years. And that denomination is spread now. You have the Church of South India, you have the Church of North India and all that. But there are those within those denominations. And then after my conversion, I was with the brethren who didn't speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit but spoke against it. But I sought the Lord, I saw in Scripture. And I want you to see if there's anyone here who still has a hang-up about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was saying to a young sister last Wednesday, I said, have you asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you asked Jesus to baptize you? And I want to say to all of us here, have you asked at least once, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit? I want to say, if you've not asked once, you don't really believe. And whatever denomination or background you come from, you think you know better than the Holy Spirit. That I received the Holy Spirit at my conversion. I want to tell you, you're thoroughly deceived. You'll never stand for the Lord. And like we see how Philip stood for the Lord, counted for the Lord right to the very end of his life, that he brought up even four daughters who were not only baptized in the Holy Spirit, who had the gift of the Spirit to prophesy. And I want to say to all of us, and if you've only asked once, then it's pathetic. But I want to say to those of you who really see your need, if you really ask the Lord. Here's a scripture that should encourage you. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them. Not that it'll go well with them and that they will be protected and persecuted, but prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. That's what they prayed for. They believed, they were converted, they got baptized, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. It says there, verse 16, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of you were baptized a couple of Sundays ago. You have simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. But we prayed together with you. I hope in faith you prayed. And not just that one time when we prayed with you, that you've been seeking. And say, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and I want to know it. That's what I tell young people. Ask the Lord for that. Lord, not that you get some electric current flowing through you and some kind of feeling and all this other rubbish that goes on in Christendom today. But you have an assurance in your heart. I asked and I believe I've received. And I believe there's a great need, my brothers and sisters. You and I cannot count for the Lord in the coming days if we are not baptized, not immersed in the Holy Spirit. Every one of you who's been baptized in water need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two things John the Baptist said about Jesus: behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John chapter 1. And he says, behold him who baptizes in the Holy Spirit and fire. So you have beheld the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's taken away your sin. Praise the Lord. Do you behold him who baptizes in the Holy Spirit and fire? If you do, you will ask. And keep on asking. And keep on asking. Keep on asking like that widow. That till she got justice, till she got what she was asking for. Like Jacob would said, I will not leave you till you bless me. That's, I was saying to this young sister, and I've said to others also, that's the way you must ask. There must be a desperation. Lord, baptize me, immerse me in the Holy Spirit, and give me, like we heard, give me a gift of the Spirit. Because I want to serve you. I want to build your church. I want to count for you in the coming days. My heart burned. I said, Lord, I'm going to be 73. But what about all you young people? This young man was in his 20s, I believe, or 30s. Then got married and had 4 children, 4 daughters who grew up and were also baptized in the Holy Spirit and also had the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's no reason, my brothers and sisters, like we heard a few Sundays ago, this promise, Peter says, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, this promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. And as many as the Lord our God will call. This promise is for you. There's no reason. And the only thing that will hinder you, 2 things I would believe that hinder people from receiving, God's people from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. One is unbelief. You don't believe. You think, no, I don't need what people call a second experience. It's not a second experience. It's there in Scripture. Saul got converted. He met Jesus, had a personal encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, but that was not enough. He was blind, and God told a humble disciple of his, Ananias, go, there is Saul praying. He was scared to go because he came with letters to bind all those who called on the name of Jesus. And God said to him, go, don't be afraid, he's a chosen vessel. And Ananias came to him and laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me and that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And immediately scales from his eyes fell and the Holy Spirit came upon him. I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name and according to God's word, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, when he falls upon you, you will be a different man. You will be a different woman. All your efforts to change yourself and to be good and to, you know, to be to be a better mother, a better wife, or a better young sister, better, all your efforts. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, he'll make you another man, he'll make you into another woman. I know that's what he did to me. And that's what he's still doing. We change. We are not the same like we were last year. I'm not the same like I was last year. The Spirit of God is changing me. He takes and shows me the glory of Jesus. And here we really see what God did with a young man. And I want to say to every one of us, that's what God wants to do for each of you. Unbelief is the first thing that keeps you away. The other thing is bitterness. Like we saw there, you know, when Peter and John, you know, were laying their hands, and many, it says there, they began laying their hands, verse 17, on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. I like that. They began, not that there was any power in their hands, but they were apostles. There's a ministry that God has given. The ministry God has given to the leadership in the church. Not that there's any power in any elder's hands or any godly man's hands. There's power in Jesus' hands. Let him lay his hands on your head. We only help you. And it says, as they were laying their hands, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And it says, when Simon saw the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Yeah, today we may not offer money for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but we want to qualify. And then, no, I just came, only yesterday I was baptized. Only last week I was converted. I don't think I'm qualified. I need to get victory over this sin. I need to deal with this first. The only thing that you need to deal with is bitterness and resentment. Bitterness and resentment. All the other things the Lord will take care of. Whatever it is, whatever sin that is holding you back, defeating you, the Lord will give you victory. But bitterness and resentment, you have to repent of it. That's what the apostles told Philip here, told this Simon here. He said, so may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. And I want to say to every one of us, if we think that we can obtain the gift of God with anything else, by qualifying, you're left out. You have no part or portion in this matter. For your heart is not right with God. No part or portion in this matter, because your heart, you're in the gall of bitterness. And I want to say to anyone here, if things are not right with you and with anybody else, worse still if it is somebody in the church, or was in the church, or somebody in your work spot, or your neighbor, I want to say you're in the gall of bitterness. Your heart is not right with God. You can never receive. And if you have received the Holy Spirit at some time, you leaked out. Because you allowed bitterness and resentment in your heart. And I want to say to you in Jesus' name, repent. Repent. Whoever it is, a relative or somebody who has done you harm, somebody has spoken about you, about your family, or somebody has done caused some problem for you in your work spot, you allowed bitterness and resentment in your heart. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell together with bitterness and resentment. He goes out. He goes out. Till you come to the place where you get rid of your bitterness and resentment. And I'm afraid that there are many people who break bread, and we're going to break bread today, who sit in this church and don't take seriously that their heart is not right with God. They think, no, I don't have a bad attitude. I don't have anything in my heart. The very fact that you cannot love a person when the thought of that person or what that person did, that means there's something wrong. And I want to say to you, the moment you repent of your, like we heard, I believe Simon repented when Peter told him, if you repent, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you afresh and continue his work in you. And if he's never fallen upon you, he'll fall upon you right now, as we pray. As we lift our hearts to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been bitter. I've been resentful. There are names coming to your mind right now, even as I say these words. And you know that your heart is not right. Your heart, whoever it is, husband, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your child, was creating some problem for you, or maybe somebody in your work spot. Right now, say, Lord, I want to get right. The first opportunity, even if it's not my fault, I will take the first step. If it's your wife, even though you're the head of the home, husbands, take the first step. The Spirit of God will fall upon you afresh, in a way that you've never experienced Him before. Dear sister, dear wife, it's a problem with your husband. Get rid of bitterness right now. Get rid of it. Flush it out of your heart. The Holy Spirit will fill your heart. Make sure he doesn't leave again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And you can say, it's me, Lord, not my wife, not my husband, not my child. It's me, Lord, standing in need right now. Not my colleague, not my neighbor, It's me, Lord. Help me. Help me to get rid of all bitterness and resentment, even the smell of it, Lord. I want to repent of it. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for the coldness I feel towards this person you're reminding me of. Lord, forgive me. I want you now to remove that coldness and fill my heart and warm my heart with your love, the love of God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. If you don't give me any other gift, Lord, flood my heart with your love. I really mean it. I want my heart to be flooded with the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I believe too that you want to give me a gift of the Spirit so I can serve you and build your church and count for you in these last days. And as you repent, and as you ask the Lord to forgive you and cleanse you in His blood, now open your heart and open your, say, Lord, baptize me. Put your hands on my head right now. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Let your Spirit come upon me afresh. He came upon me some years ago. I lost the power, I lost the anointing, Lord, because I've been bitter and resentful. Please forgive me. I repent with all of my heart. I'm going to humble myself and apologize where I need to apologize. Whoever it may be, even somebody younger than me, Lord, I'm willing to take this first step to humble myself. Will you baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit and fire? Yes, Lord, I want a baptism of fire that will burn up every trace of bitterness and resentment in my heart. Flood my heart with the love of God. I believe that as I'm asking you, you're doing that right now. I don't need to feel it, Lord, but I will see it in action. Spirit of God, come upon me. And all of us who have received the Holy Spirit, will you say, Lord, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh, fill me to overflowing, that rivers of living water will flow from my innermost being. I'll serve you till the end of my days on this earth, till you return in glory. Lord Jesus, here am I. Here am I, Lord, let my life count for you in the coming days. I don't want to fall in the wilderness. I want to count for you, Lord. Raise me up like you raised up the servant of yours, Philip. Raise me up like you raised up many young people in the early church. Raise up young people in this church right now, Lord. Put your hand upon them. Help them to know that you love them. And baptize every young person who has repented of their sins, been baptized in water. Baptize them now in the Holy Spirit and fire. Give them the faith to know it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You're in our midst, that you're doing great things in our days. We're living in exciting times. We want to serve you till our last breath. We want to serve you. We see your face very soon. You return in the clouds of heaven. Bless us, Lord. We give you praise and thanks. Let's sing together. We really believe the Lord has met with you.